Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Thursday class, September 5th, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. We have exegeted verses 11 and 12. It sounds like this, 1 John 5:11. In fact, this is the written testimony that God, God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation and Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, gives mankind an option. God has given all of us a free will, a volition. Through simple faith in Jesus Christ, you have the gift of eternal life. Through rejection of the grace gospel, you absolutely do not have eternal life. And this is God the Father's testimony about His Son. According to the divine testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this gift is bestowed in His Son. And since this gift is bestowed in His Son, its only possessor is the person who possesses the Son. Faith in Jesus Christ. Because the one who has the Son, faith in Jesus Christ, has eternal life. But the one who does not have the Son, who rejects the grace gospel provided by God, he does not have eternal life. Jesus Christ and He alone is the repository for the gift of eternal life. And apart from faith in Jesus Christ, no one possesses eternal life. God, in His infinite and matchless grace, has provided two categories of security for the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Temporal security and eternal security. Eternal security is established at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, through the gift of eternal life and the baptism of the Spirit, where God the Holy Spirit enters you into union with Christ, and through current positional truth, we share the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as royal family of God in the dispensation of the church age, we have a double portion of eternal life. To whom much is given, much is expected. The one who believes in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, can never, ever lose his salvation. And God has given us temporal security. Temporal security is also established the moment of salvation through faith in Christ, through the imputation of divine righteousness and the establishment of the grace pipeline, with the justice of God on one end and the imputed righteousness of the Father in each one of us on the other end, establishing this fantastic grace pipeline. And right at the moment of faith in Christ, 40 salvation blessings come down that grace pipeline. And then every day from that day to today, God sends down logistical grace, blessing, and support. Temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world, that you might make good decisions to live the spiritual life, to execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, attain spiritual maturity. And then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings to be awarded the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Those crowns and rewards that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. So that brings us now to verse 13. Now I'm going to read verse 13. Valerie's here. You got your King James Bible? Okay. I'm going to read verse 13 because in the King James, it's different than in the NASV or NIV. 1 John 5, verse 13, in the King James says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, from that point on, and then it says in the King James, "and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Okay, those words, "and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God," they are not in the best manuscripts, nor are they in most of the early manuscripts. And therefore, this is not a part of the God-breathed scriptures. So if you want to just cross that out, you can just cross that out. 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you." We have the aorist active indicative of grapho plus the accusative plural neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun sou. All right, well, we have grapho, and most of you can figure out this one. Grapho, G-R-A-P-H, long O, grapho. And grapho is the Greek word that means to write. And it emphasizes the Apostle John as the human author in the inspiration of the epistle of 1 John. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the writing of 1 John in its entirety. The active voice, the Apostle John, performs the action of the verb. And the indicative mood is declarative, presenting these doctrines and this epistle as absolute truth. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun houtos. Looks like that. There's the letter H. It's that breathing over the word. H-O-U-T-O-S. Houtos. Houtos is a demonstrative pronoun. It correctly translated this. But when it's in the plural neuter, which it is in our verse, then it's correctly translated these things. So plural neuter, these things, and these things refers to specifically in our context the doctrine of eternal life, the doctrine of temporal security, the doctrine of eternal security. That's the these things we have. And then the personal pronoun su. Sue, look how many times you're in the Bible. You misspelled your name as all. S-U or T-H-U-E. Sue. Personal pronoun Sue, you. Dative plural is the dative of indirect object. To you or for your interest and benefit. The indirect object introduces the ones in whose interest and benefit something is given. So, corrected translation says, I have written these things to you for your interest and for your benefit. And then we have that believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the articular present active participle of pistelo, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative of onoma with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of huios with the definite article, and the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. All right, well, we have the verb pistelo, and you're very familiar with this one. The verb to believe. Looks like that in the Greek, P-I-S-T-E-U, long O, pistelo, the verb to believe. And the articular participle is a substantival participle, and that means it functions as a noun. And so it's correctly translated, the ones who believe. That's how you translate the substantival participle, the ones who believe. And then the preposition ace. E-I-S. And ace means in or into or toward. And then we have the word onoma. O-N-O-M-A, onoma. Okay, now I know literally that means name. So point one, a couple of things here. One, onoma literally means name. But there's far more to this than that. And we're going to see the best translation of onoma here is person. Person. But let me give you the basis of that. Point two. To believe in the name of someone means you have confidence that he bears his name rightfully, that he really is what his name declares. So to believe in the name, onoma, of someone means you have confidence that he bears his name rightfully and that he really is what his name declares. 3. Therefore, to believe in Jesus Christ is to believe that He really is the eternal Son of God, that He really is the only Savior, that He really is the Messiah. So therefore, to believe in Jesus Christ is to believe that He really is the eternal Son of God. He really is the only Savior. He really is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Point 4. Therefore, the best way to translate anima is person. Person. So we have, I have written these things to you for your interest and benefit, to the ones who believe in the person of the Son of God. 5. The ones who believe in the person of the Son of God for eternal salvation. And we have here, huios tu theo. That's exactly how it looks in the Greek. I knew you wanted to see that. H-U-I-O-S, huios. This is the genitive case of the article, and the genitive is T-O-U. That's the genitive case of theos. T-H-E-O-U in the genitive, and that's God. So in huios Son, in the Son of God. This is the title of the Lord Jesus Christ, emphasizing the fact that He is deity. Jesus Christ is deity. So I have written these things to you for your interest and benefit, to the ones who believe in the person, to the ones who believe in the person of the Son of God. And then we have, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Ye is ye, see. This is hina plus the subjunctive of oida plus the conjunction ha ti with the present active indicative of echo plus the accusative singular of zoe modified by the adjective ionios. So we have hina plus the subjunctive. Hina plus the subjunctive. H-I-N-A. Hina plus the subjunctive introduces a purpose clause, and therefore it may be translated for the purpose that, or in order that. And then we have our old friend, oida. For those of you who have been consistent, this is your old friend, O-I-D-A, oida. Oida means to know. It's a, as you heard me say many, many times, it's a frozen form in Koine Greek. It is a perfect used as a present, which means you have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that you know the doctrines of eternal life, temporal security, and eternal security now in the present. That's what oida is saying. You have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that you know the doctrines of eternal life, temporal security, and eternal security now in the present. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. The emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The active voice, positive believers, with humility, perform the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood goes along with hina to introduce this purpose clause. And we have the conjunction hati. And again, those of you who have been consistent and faithful, You say, well, I know that's normally a causal conjunction, but after a verb of decendi, and oida is a verb of decendi, a verb of knowing, well, then it is translated, correctly translated, that. It introduces an object clause. It introduces what you know. And therefore, after verbs of decendi, the causal conjunction, ha ti, is correctly translated that, not because. And then the verb echo. E-C-H long O, echo. And echo means to have and to hold, to possess. We have the present tense. The present tense is linear action sort. That's how you graph linear action sort. And by the way, when I say action sort, that's a German word. How did you spell action sort? And did you try? How did I spell it? Aktionsart. You see, there you go. Aktionsart, action start, linear action start. In other words, keep on having and holding, keep on possessing. That's the linear action start of the present tense. You keep on having and holding, you keep on possessing. Active voice, everyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ, performs the action of the verb, and he keeps on having and holding eternal life. He keeps on possessing eternal life. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the Word of God. And then we have Zoe, the word for life. Boy, that is a lousy... Z, long, O, long, E, Zoe. That's the word life. It's modified by the adjective aionios. I left out the N. Jeez. Getting too much of a hurry. Aha. A-I... long O-N-I-O-S, aionios. And aionios means eternal, modifying life. So the corrected translation sounds like this. I have written these things to you for your interest and benefit, to the ones who believe in the person of the Son of God, in order that, or for the purpose that, you may know that you keep on having, you keep on possessing eternal life. This is very, very powerful. John can't state this in a more powerful way. It just galls me that there are so many Christians out there who think they have lost their security, lost their salvation, and you can't get more forceful than this. God the Holy Spirit and the Apostle John can't make this more clear. You cannot ever lose your salvation. I have written these things to you for your interest and benefit, to the ones who believe in the person of the Son of God, for the purpose that you may know that you keep on having eternal life, that you keep on possessing eternal life. That's as strong as it can be in the Word of God. And yet you'll go out there and you'll come in contact with people that they believed in Christ at some point in their life, and then they think they've lost their salvation. And then they... We've had our evangelism team go in all throughout adult daycare centers all over Southern Nevada. We've gone all over to a whole bunch of them, presented the grace gospel. There's always somebody there, I would say some idiot there, who says, oh, you can lose your salvation. And then he goes around and tells everybody else after we leave, they're wrong. Eternal security is wrong, and you can lose your salvation. Boy, what they're teaching is wrong. You know, and you know, the best thing, I told the evangelism team, just take him out with a 45 and shoot him. I don't know. And he might have thought he lost his eternal life, but he'll be in heaven, so he'll be happy as a clam up there. I have written these things to you for your interest and benefit, to the ones who believe in the person of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you keep on having, keep on possessing eternal life. One, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of eternal life from the Father, and we are baptized into union with Christ and share the eternal life of Jesus Christ. In the church age, the royal family of God has a double portion of eternal life, and not only that, we have a double portion of the righteousness of God. Because at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Father imputes His righteousness to us. And that's Romans 3, 21 and 22. And at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we're baptized into union with Christ and share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we have a double portion of the righteousness of God, a double portion of eternal life of God. We are living in the most phenomenal dispensation. We have been blessed far, far greater than any believer in the Old Testament. And there are some great believers in the Old Testament. Look at Moses. Look at David. Look at Isaiah. Look at Jeremiah. Look at these great believers. And none of them had a double portion of eternal life. None of them had a double portion of God's righteousness. But you do. You do, every one of you do. We all have it. We have been blessed out of our tree. We have the most phenomenal blessing. Now, to whom much is given, much is expected. You have received two royal commissions. You are commissioned as a royal priest. There was a specialized priesthood in the age of Israel. You had to be from the tribe of Levi. If you weren't from the tribe of Levi, you could not be a priest. It was a specialized priesthood. But today, in this dispensation, every believer is a priest. We are all have a royal commission, a royal priesthood. In fact, hold your spot here. Turn over for a moment. Turn over to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We have been commissioned a royal priest, and from our royal priesthood, we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So here we have been given this fantastic royal commission, commissioned a royal priest. And the second one, we have been commissioned a royal ambassador representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And that's our Wednesday night class. That's 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. So, point two, when we receive the gift of eternal life, we also receive eternal security. We can never, ever lose our salvation. We can never, ever lose our salvation. Three, only the believer in Jesus Christ has eternal life. Only the one who places his faith in Jesus Christ has eternal life. The unbeliever does not have eternal life, and that's 1 John 5:12. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. Four, it is one thing to believe in Jesus Christ, but it is another thing to know and have absolute confidence that there is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. It's one thing to believe in Jesus Christ, but it is another thing to know and have absolute confidence that there is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. Five, confidence in God is developed by living the spiritual life that he's given to us in the church age. Confidence in God, confidence in the Word of God, is developed by living the spiritual life in the church age. And as you live that spiritual life, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, when you attain spiritual maturity and fulfill the ultimate objective of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you have personal love for God the Father. You know God the Father. You know His essence. You know His attributes. And you believe them. You know, they're not just words. Sure, a lot of you can say God is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. A lot of you can say those things. Do you know what they mean? Do you understand what that means, every one of those attributes? As you grow up and attain spiritual maturity, you do know what every one of those attributes mean. You know what it means to be the sovereign God of the universe. The sovereign God of the universe, He's the quarterback. He calls all the plays. He's the potter, we're the clay. His decisions are absolutely perfect. His plan is absolutely perfect. And He has a perfect plan for all of us. Sovereignty. Righteousness and justice. That's the holiness of God. That means God is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite honor, and He's infinitely fair with all of His creation. He's infinitely fair with each one of us. Infinitely fair. And He's virtue love. And He loves each one of us with infinite virtue love. And that's absolutely amazing. And He is eternal life. And He's given us eternal security at the very moment of our faith in Jesus Christ. And He's the omniscient God. He knows all of our situations. He knows all of our circumstances. He knows all of our problems and adversities and suffering. He knows our prosperity. He knows all of those things. It hasn't caught him by surprise. And he knew about it in eternity past. And he's omnipresent. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. He's with us every single second of every day. There's never a second. God is not with you every moment of every single day. And He is omnipotent. He's the all-powerful God, the creator of the universe. And that means He can solve any problem. Any problem. I don't care what it is. He is the omnipotent God, the creator of the universe. Whatever problems you have, difficulties, adversities, suffering, whatever you're going through, He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God. He can solve any problem. I believe that. 100, totally. In fact, I tell God when I'm praying, I believe that 1,000,000%. I just thought I'd try to impress Him a little bit. But I believe that 1,000,000%, Father. And I have some people on my prayer list. They got some, from the human viewpoint, they got some real testings, some real serious sufferings that they're going through. But I believe that the omnipotent God can solve that problem, and I pray that, believe that 1,000,000%. He's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's veracity. He's infinite truth and faithfulness. And that means we can have maximum confidence in God and maximum confidence in the Word of God. That's knowing God. That's knowing the essence of God. That's personal love for God the Father. When you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all. That means even Democrats. Impersonal love for all. And occupation with Jesus Christ. And occupation with Jesus Christ has on the other side of the coin sharing the happiness of God. Well, it is one thing to believe in Jesus Christ, but it is another thing to know and have absolute confidence that there is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. 5, confidence toward God is developed by living the spiritual life. It's developed by growing up in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, a question for you. Do you have confidence in God? Do you have confidence in God and His Word or not? 6, confidence in God is developed by knowing your eternal security and your temporal security. Confidence in God is developed by knowing your eternal security and your temporal security. Confidence in God is developed by knowing who and what God is, knowing His essence. Seven, eternal life cannot be canceled. That's our great paragraph here, 1 John 5:11-13. Eternal life cannot be canceled. 8, Eternal life means eternal security. Nine, both eternal life and eternal security are guaranteed by the essence of God, by the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. Both eternal life and eternal security are guaranteed by the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. He is infinite virtue. He is infinite integrity. He is infinite honor. He is infinitely fair. 10. Eternal security is an unbreakable relationship. Eternal security is an unbreakable relationship because it depends entirely on who and what God is, never who and what we are. Eternal security is an unbreakable relationship because it depends entirely upon who and what God is and never who and what we are. And the more you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the more you realize that, well, I realize I am nothing. I'm nothing. God is everything and I am nothing. And the more you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you realize the same thing. You're nothing, but God is everything. And because God is everything, He provides for you in grace. You don't earn it, you don't deserve it, but He pours out grace upon grace upon grace because of who and what He is. He's everything. God is everything. We're nothing, but we're the recipients of God's grace. God lavishes us with His grace upon grace upon grace. 11. Man's weakness cannot cancel God's strength. Man's weakness cannot cancel God's strength. Man's failures cannot abrogate or nullify the integrity of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Man's failures, and as believers in Jesus Christ, we make bad decisions from time to time. Is there anybody here that's never made a bad decision? That has never sinned? Raise your hand. Stand up. So we know you and Jesus Christ are the only two. See? No, we all have. We've all sinned. We've all failed. Probably there's been a time you even just slipped. You stayed out of fellowship long enough. You started getting into reversionism and going that way. We all have a free will. We're not perfect. But you do have a free will to make good decisions and succeed, make bad decisions and fail. And from time to time, we have all failed. Look at David. David, who is in the Bible, says a man after the Lord's own heart. David, who wrote most of the Psalms in the Old Testament. And he committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. And he went through a lot of discipline. A lot of discipline. But he came to his senses. He came to his senses and rebounded, got back into fellowship with God. And then advanced in the grace and truth of the Word of God. Became the greatest king of all time in Israel's history. King David. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, and He is at the second advent, He returns as the Son of David. He's the Son of David at the second advent, and He sits in the throne of David in Jerusalem and rules planet Earth. So point 12, man's failures cannot abrogate or nullify the integrity of God. Now let's take a look one more time at 1 John 5:11 to 13. 1 John 5, verse 11. In fact, this is the written testimony that God, God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. I have written these things to you for your interest and benefit, to the ones who believe in the person of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you keep on having, you keep on possessing eternal life. All right. One. When the spiritually dead person believes in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit makes his faith effective for eternal salvation. When the spiritually dead person believes in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit makes his faith effective for eternal salvation. Efficacious grace. Two, at the moment of salvation, right at that instant, God gives us 40 salvation blessings. 40. None of which can be canceled. At the moment of salvation, God gives each one of us 40 salvation blessings, none of which can be canceled. Three, God cannot cancel them because of our failures. He cannot cancel them because of our bad decisions. Four, we cannot do anything to lose them. We cannot do anything to lose them. Five, those 40 salvation blessings cannot be canceled by our failures, by our bad decisions, by our renunciation of God. And there are some who heard the grace gospel and believed in Jesus Christ for their salvation. And then down the road, somewhere down the road, either they went to a university and got all this human viewpoint garbage from a university, and then they say, well, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't believe that He's the Savior. Now, they did. But now, down the road, they get all these false teachers, and false teachers are everywhere. They're not only in local churches. False teachers are in universities. False teachers are in politics and government. They're all over the place. And these Christians who place their faith in Christ start listening to these false teachers. And the next thing you know, they listen to them and believe them, and they wind up out of fellowship with God. They wind up in Satan's cosmic system. They wind up in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And then they turn around and renounce Jesus Christ and say, I don't believe that anymore. Have they lost their salvation?
No.
No, back there when they heard the grace gospel and they placed their faith in Christ, they have eternal salvation. And even down the road, maybe 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, they turn around and renounce all that, they're still going to be in heaven. Won't it be fun? Well, if they die, they'll be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. Standing there, what are they going to say when they meet the Lord? I renounce you. I renounce you back there, but you know what? You really are. Or the rapture takes place. There's going to be a lot of Christians that have thought they lost their salvation, renounced God, renounced Jesus Christ, and the rapture. And the rapture can take place anytime. I think it might be. Well, it's signless and timeless. But I think we're getting close. Boom, we're all up there. Won't they be shocked? Son of a gun. All of that that Pastor Olson taught about in the Bible, it's all true. And I have eternal security. Well, see, I knew I had it all along, you know. So, those 40 salvation blessings cannot be canceled by our failures or renunciation of God or by any evil we may do. 6. Eternal security is infinitely greater than any sin or evil or human good that we accomplish from our sin nature. We have a sin nature. We all have it. Produces sin, human good, and evil. Eternal security is infinitely greater than any sin, evil, or human good we do from the sin nature. 7. The permanent possession of eternal life carries with it the guarantee of eternal security. The permanent possession of eternal life carries with it the guarantee of eternal security. 8. The same God who provides eternal security by grace also provides temporal security by grace. Logistical grace. Down that grace pipeline. So the same God who provides eternal security by grace also provides temporal security by grace. Logistical grace that comes down day after day after day down that grace pipeline. 9. Eternal security and temporal security is something every believer possesses, regardless of his experiential status. Eternal security and temporal security is something every believer possesses, regardless of his experiential status. However, confidence in this eternal security and temporal security is not possessed by every believer. Eternal security and temporal security is something every believer possesses regardless of his experiential status. However, point 10, confidence in this eternal security and temporal security is not possessed by every believer. 11, eternal security and temporal security of salvation is something God gives to us. Eternal security and temporal security of salvation is something God gives to us. However, confidence in God is developed in the believer who live the spiritual life. However, confidence in God is developed in the believer who lives the spiritual life. The believer who fulfills the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But whether you have confidence in God and His Word or not does not change God's attitude toward you. Whether you have confidence in God and His Word or not, that does not change God's attitude toward you. Eternal security and temporal security is received by grace. Who and what God is, not who and what we are. It's received by grace at salvation. However, we acquire confidence. We acquire confidence through consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, learning and believing the Word of God. Understanding eternal security and temporal security, as well as many other doctrines in the Word of God, that gives us confidence. Confidence is an experience which comes through learning, believing, and applying more and more of the God-breathed Scriptures. However, ignorance of the Word of God is simply failure. Failure in consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Here's a principle. Ignorance is costly. Ignorance of the Word of God is costly because it deprives the believer of one, confidence in God and His Word. Two, confidence in eternal security. Three, confidence in temporal security. So here's the principle. Ignorance is costly because it deprives the believer of confidence in God and His Word, confidence in eternal security, confidence in temporal security. It is the quintessence of human arrogance to assume you can do something to cancel your eternal and temporal security. Every believer in Jesus Christ has eternal life. Every believer in Jesus Christ has eternal security. Every believer in Jesus Christ has temporal security. And no one can cancel it. Eternal life, eternal security, and temporal security is received as salvation as a part of God's magnificent grace, while confidence is acquired as a part of our post-salvation function, such as living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, fulfilling the mandate, keep on being filled and empowered by the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So eternal life, Eternal security and temporal security is received at salvation as a part of God's magnificent grace, while confidence is acquired as a post-salvation function, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Well, this is the Apostle John, when he wrote this under the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, it's the most powerful teaching on eternal security, temporal security, eternal life in the Word of God. 1 John 5:11-13. And he hasn't finished now. We got some really fun thing coming up after this. Now we're going to combine you reaching spiritual maturity, you having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, with something that's absolutely awesome. You have a prayer life that's powerful and effective and accomplishes much. That's only the spiritually mature believer. Only the spiritually mature believer has a powerful and effective prayer life that accomplishes much. And when you reach that point and your virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you know what? You look forward to prayer. You look forward to praying. It's one of the highlights of your day, every single day, maybe several times during the day. You look forward to it. You know why? Because you have personal love for God the Father. And where do all your prayers go? They go to the Father. All prayers go to the Father. And you have personal love for God the Father. And you look forward to praying. And you look forward to bringing up believers that you know. We have some great, great winner believers in this church that have phenomenal greater grace blessing packages, reality to them. And within that greater grace blessing package is a very special category, undeserved suffering for blessing. And it only comes to winner believers, only to winner believers. Undeserved suffering for blessing. And they're going through that. And it gives that winner believer an opportunity of glorifying God in his suffering as well as in his prosperity. And I love holding up those believers before the Father. Every day I look forward to it. The highlight of my day. That comes first. Every day I'm over here. I'm here every day. In the happy place. The first thing I do in my office is to come before the Father and pray. And I look forward to it. And I know many of you do too. That's fantastic. Well, we're going to see that here in the next couple verses coming up in 1 John. So we go from better good, gooder, goodest. You know, there we go. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.